Lord, open our hearts and minds to your word, and your word to our hearts and minds, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give us today our daily bread. Is not life more important than food? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. If perhaps we could get those four sentences into our minds this evening out of the New Testament reading we had, you will have the basics of what I want to say. Memorize them and act upon them, and you will not go far wrong during the coming week. There are basically two forms of sermon. The one is expository, when the preacher goes systematically through a series of Bible verses or a chapter or a book, bringing out the teaching of the passage in a methodical way. In the ideal expository sermon or lecture, no detail should be left out. That's the form of sermon we are having in our series on Numbers. The other form is thematic, a sermon in which a biblical subject or doctrine is drawn out from a text or scripture applicable to the subject, and the teaching is endorsed and supported by other passages and verses from the Bible. The preacher concentrates on the whole Bible teaching on that topic. Great expository preachers were George Whitefield and Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Great thematic preachers were John Wesley and Charles Spurgeon. Well, I'm not a preacher in that category, I'm sure you're aware. But nevertheless, my sermon this evening is undoubtedly thematic. And given the day we are celebrating, the theme is obvious. It is harvest. It is God's faithful and bountiful provision of our daily needs, in particular, our food. And my main text is this: give us today our daily bread. Food and drink are essential to life, and our Father knows this. And so he gives us our daily bread. God deals with the practicalities of life, or else we would die. I have to say that food is a favorite subject of mine. It may be of yours too. I do like my food. Eating and drinking are the great necessities of life, of course, but they are also among the great pleasures of life, a God-given delight, I am sure. The best part of the day for me is that time in the early evening when I set out the table for the evening meal. Cutlery, table mats, salt and pepper pots, drinking glasses are placed neatly ready for the three of us, Pam, Andrew, and myself, to sit down for dinner together with a nice glass of wine for me. Don't tell my teetotal wife that I've said this in the sermon, will you? This procedure happens most days. Meals on a tray, sitting on a sofa, watching TV, just doesn't compare. Food deserves respect. And for all my life, this means a table meal, well cooked and well presented. And this is especially the case on Sunday at lunchtime. I go home from church on Sunday morning, and when we get home, the joint will be roasted, and then I set out to prepare and cook the vegetables and, most important of all, the gravy. And of course, the meal has to have a pudding. You know that with me, don't you? No meal is complete without a good pudding, and I am truly blessed with a dear wife who is excellent with puddings. And that's a fact. You should have tasted the blackberry and apple pie I had this very lunchtime. The only problem with meals is the washing up. But good food, of course, is a delight. And for that, I am very, very grateful. But I wonder sometimes, much as I delight in sitting down for a good meal, do I take for granted that it is there on the table every day, without fail? There have been times in my life when things have been a bit tight, I don't deny, but never has there been a time when I went seriously hungry for lack of food. And yet how many times have we all prayed together, give us today our daily bread, and yet we have prayed those prayers and not thought about what we're saying. We take the words for granted. We assume the answer will be there. Well, today is the day when, as a church, we remember with thanks that this prayer is constantly being answered. Way back in Genesis, we have God's promise to mankind. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And as Barnabas and Paul preached to the people at Lystra, God has not left himself without witness. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Yes, indeed. The good things of life provided by our Father are designed to fill our hearts with joy. It's God's intention that we should be joyful. But with it, we should also be thankful. Even the valleys, of course, as we read, stand thick with corn. They know what it is to laugh and sing. But it is given to mankind to say thank you. But how often do we really come to appreciate the goodness of God in providing us with the food that we eat? We pray so many times the Lord's Prayer, but how often have we really thought about what we have prayed? We are surely, do we not realize, utterly dependent upon God's goodness in his daily provision? Our faith is not just about spiritual realities, about praying, about believing, about holiness, about obedience, about reading and understanding the Bible. It's all those things, yes, but it is also about the practicalities of everyday life, such as food, clothing, our homes, and our health. God is in that too, and mightily. But so often we don't acknowledge that. We don't let him in. Instead, we try to work out the everyday things in life for ourselves. And as a result, we finish up making them bigger issues than they really are, and we start worrying about it all, don't we? Yes, we do. Jesus guides us and warns us about this. These practical things in life are important, of course they are, and they are part of our Christian faith, but the Lord has to be part of it. In his prayer that he taught the disciples on that day, on the vital question of food, Jesus uses only 7 words, the words of our text. Give us today our daily bread. Sorry, I can't count. 6. 6 words. Food and the daily provisions of life are of huge importance, and we spend so much money and time and thought on it, often leaving God outside altogether. But this mighty topic is covered by our Lord in this prayer in just a few words. Later in the chapter, we find him asking this important question. Is not life more important than food? And more, he reminds us that there are much more important things to be thinking about. Seek first, he says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall then be added to you. First, it's the kingdom of God. Ah, but so often it is these things, the things of daily life, that are on our minds all the time. And they can dominate life and fill our hearts and minds with anxiety. But Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why do we do it? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, says Jesus. The God who is taking you through today will be the same God tomorrow, and he has promised to provide and care for his children. But we go on worrying and troubled. I do anyway. Especially just now when things seem to be heaping up in everyday life, making it all the more difficult to cope. One of the banes of my life, I have to admit, is worry. Worry about what might happen tomorrow comes pretty high on the agenda. It's the future, you see. How am I going to cope with the future? Things ain't going to get better. How am I going to cope with the days that are ahead? And I forget the message of harvest, that provision is made not only for today, but for that future. So I had really better take notice of what Jesus has to say to me this evening. Take no thought for tomorrow. This brings us, I think, to one of the most important things to learn about harvest and God's provision for us. We worry about the everyday issues of life, and this worry is a distraction from the really important things. God provides for us so that we needn't worry, so that we can concentrate all our efforts on the real things of life. It's not always the case, is it? I admit. But by and large, the things that we fret about are relatively trivial. They are not all that important in the long run, are they? They are small fry by comparison. What are you worrying about today? Tell me. Well, no, don't tell me out loud, but in your mind, tell me. Is it all that important? Even if your worst fears are realized, will it be a disaster? In any way, your worst fears almost certainly will not happen anyway. They rarely do they? Think back now. Were the things that you worried about last week worth worrying about? They might have been so insignificant, actually, that you cannot even remember what they were. Jesus says that we must put first things first. When we do that, everything else will fall into place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you. If only we could get our priorities right. The lesser things will take their proper place beside the greater. We shall see them in perspective. Their significance will not be exaggerated. Those things that seem so important to us will be less dominating when we understand the great plan of God in our lives. And so we can pray, give us today our daily needs and leave it at that. And spend our energies on more profitable efforts to further God's kingdom. Well, of course, we don't always put first things first, do we? God, our Lord Christ, the kingdom. These are the things that must have number one place. Nothing, but nothing is more important. Nothing. Here's a question I think I've asked of you before, if you were at the sermon when I asked it. But I ask it again. If there was only one thing in your life that you could hold on to, what would it be? Just one. Something, everything else must go but the one. Perhaps money, home, hobbies, family, health, happiness. You have one to keep. What would it be? Would it be your faith? Your God? Would it be Jesus? Or would you give up Christ in order to keep something else, to be secure and at ease in your daily living? Would you? The reality of our answer is, I guess, is often shown by the way that we live. A friend said to me once, and I pray for her constantly, how that she did believe in a God in heaven, but that her life is so full that, there really was no time left for God and for going to church, much as she would like to. Good gracious. Where are our priorities if we ever think like that? Should it not be an unwritten rule in our lives? Nothing should ever be allowed to take the place of God and his kingdom in our life. Nothing. I don't think there is an easy answer to the question and the problem of priorities and worry about ordinary, everyday things. Life has to be lived each day, of course. Provision has to be made, work has to be done, washing has to be done, the dinner cooked and the garden kept in order. And the demands that these things have on our time cannot be got rid of just like that. We must fulfill our obligations. It is one of the issues, one of the tests we have to sort out as Christians. There is an antidote, though, and that is to remember that first, always seek the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness, his will, his presence in your life every moment. Put him as number one, and you will do everything else, and you'll find that they'll fall into place. And you're bound then to get your priorities right. The secret is not trying to worry less. The secret is to trust God more. Have faith. Give God his rightful place in all that happens in your daily life. And as you do, you will not have time to fret about your daily bread. Well, Michael, and all you good folk out there who's listening to this sermon. And the sermon is all around you, isn't it? Just look at them on those windowsills there. I wish you'd seen them in the sunshine this morning. The colours made them just look brilliant. Beautiful, beautiful flowers. God's gift to us. Glory to God, he knows how to do all things well. And he is the God who made you. In all your glory, in all 3 billion cells of you, and your soul, and your spirit, and he has no intention of failing you. You are part of his plan and part of his kingdom. Your daily will be provided, so you know now what Jesus says. Go out there and put it into practice. Take no thought for tomorrow. Instead, seek first God and his kingdom, and the daily bread will be there on your plate. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for another harvest, the fulfillment, the wonderful fulfillment of your promise to us.